All right, let's start our lesson this morning. Would somebody open up their quarterly and read the memory verse to us? You don't know how many Sabbath schools over the last 3 or 4 years that I've been to that's the way the lesson starts. So, good, bad, or ugly, the thing I appreciate about this class is sometimes we don't even know there is a quarterly. But let's get into the Holy Spirit. We're going to kind of review the quarter. First of all, I understand one of the teachers here tried to name him one Sabbath. So I don't want to fall into that pit because that's nuts. But the Holy Spirit, what do you see is the work of the Holy Spirit? If you were to define, Jesus said, it's good that I leave you because I'm going to send a comforter, a paraclete, one who walks beside you. And so the question I want to start out this morning is, what do you see is the primary work of the Holy Spirit? Yes?
I don't know that it's primary work, but it is something that means a lot to me.
Okay.
I wish I could quote the reference of the verse, but it says, or I'll paraphrase, that the Holy Spirit will teach me all things.
Okay, absolutely. That is there. That's Hezekiah 2:10. That's good.
To go to the memory verse, so to speak.
Ma'am?
To go to the memory verse is to fill you with joy and hope.
Okay, so we got one that's going to teach you in all truths, and we got one that's going to fill you with joy and hope, okay? What do you see is the work of the Holy Spirit? What else? Pardon me?
Convict us of sin.
Okay, so we got going to teach us, going to bring us joy and hope and convict us. Okay, well, let's go with convict. How does the Holy Spirit convict us of sin? Because that is a text. How does He convict us of sin? And do we like to be convicted of sin?
No. He shows us the beauty of God.
Pardon?
He shows us the beauty of God.
Oh, heresy. Heresy. Yeah. How do bank tellers, how do they train bank tellers to find counterfeit money?
Show them the real.
Yeah. They only work with the real. And so they get to know the touch and the feel and the look of real money, so that when the counterfeit comes along, they immediately notice it. Now, let's go back to some of the ways that we've done Bible studies. As you can figure out now, I'm not a proponent of a lot of old Bible studies, because what was one of the things that we did in the old Bible studies that we used to have? What would we point out?
Where a person is wrong.
Yeah, where the person is wrong. And so we started training them on what was the wrong things that churches do. Well, this church believes in this. This church believes in that. This church believes in this. We even have classes. Sometimes they were taught here in this church, comparative religions, where we compared our religion with the Baptists and the church. What good is that? What does that bring that we understand that the Church of Christ believes this? I went to Houston back and forth a week before last with a guy that's a real good Mormon. Really a Mormon. I admire him. He's got the family thing down and he's got all these things. So he finally got around to asking, what Seventh-day Adventists believe. And so I said, well, what do Mormons believe? And he told me, and he asked me, he says, do you have any questions about the Mormons? And I thought, well, I got a lot of questions, but I want to be nice, because he was very nice. So I said, yeah, the one thing that bothers me about your religion is, and guess what I said?
Temple.
Huh?
Temple.
Who said that?
I did.
Oh, well, you've heard the story.
I just know you.
Never tell a joke with Sue Pleasant. Well, yeah. Yeah, it was. Why am I not allowed in the Mormon temple? Now, I think that's a fair question. Because when I went to Salt Lake City, Sue, what was my one quest?
I wanted the temple.
To get into the temple. And I tried. Believe me, I tried. I even offered to pay. I told them that I was supposed to meet Brother So-and-so and from Dallas. And I got mixed up and he's already in. He was not going to let me in that temple.
Wearing your magic underwear.
Yeah, I did get around to that one too. You know. So he shared with me.
Is that another joke though?
Magic underwear?
I don't know about the magic underwear.
No, it's not. I asked him about that. It's true. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So he said, which I thought was very interesting, because when he asked me about Seventh-day Adventist, the only thing I really told him was that we believed in a strong relationship with God. And because we had a relationship with God, it made a lot of sense that there were things that we would do in our life. So he said, man, I like that relationship thing. He says, that makes a lot of sense. We're kind of like that. Then I want you to listen to the same. So the reason that you can't get into the temple is that, and I'm going to paraphrase, you have to be perfect. So in order for a Mormon to get into the temple, he's got to go through a list of questions every 2 years. And they check on his marriage and on his tithe paying, you know, and all that. Now remember, this is a guy who says he likes relationship, you know, bless his heart. And so every two years, you have to get requalified to come into the temple. And so that for the temple so holy that a mere person like me just trying to get in ain't going to get in. I asked him about the holy underwear. It's very expensive. You can only buy it through the Mormon church. And they wear it all the time except like if you're going to run in track. And I said, well, I don't have that problem. And, you know, something like that, work out. But otherwise they wear it. And all the symbols are reminders of commitment to the church, commitment to God, commitment to their marriage, commitment to the family, and that's why they wear the holy underwear. So I thought, well, that's all interesting, but what if the Arlington Church quizzed us every 2 years? Well, one, we wouldn't need a building program, you know, you see. So the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. What does that mean? How does He convict us of sin? Now, last week I had the privilege of preaching in Waxahachie. Now, I had a choice. I told you this lesson is about as unprepared as you can get, so we're going to have fun today. I told the head elder when we had our seminar 2 or 3 weeks ago, he asked me if I would preach this last Sabbath. And I said, sure. I said, I got two really good sermons, but can you kind of guide me? And I said, the first one is on the 2300 days, day by day. And I saw shock on his face. I mean, you know. And I said, the second one's on the mark of the beast. So which one would you prefer? And I was just as straight, serious as I could be. And he said, well, it seemed like the 2300 days would take about 3 or 4 hours. So I said, well, it's time to kind of let him off the hook, you know. Now, I did have a choice on what I preached. Now, if I believed in a legal method of religion, why would I not then take that opportunity for about 35 minutes and preach on and point out sin. Wouldn't that make sense? If I'm supposed to convict, if the Holy Spirit is going to convict us, why would that be a great opportunity to preach on what happens when you sin? How many times have you heard those sermons over the years? Now, Elaine, you said something, so explain what you said again. What? How does the Holy Spirit convict?
Guilt is not a very good motivation to being good. Desire is much stronger.
Okay. So how does he bring about this conviction?
Frostpoint, fire and ice. Fire is a lot more powerful than ice.
Okay. All right. So how would you...
Okay. Compared to religion, compared to English class, it was very useful because it taught me how to approach a person and what their interests were.
Okay.
You've got to know the person themselves.
Absolutely.
In another place, it says the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth.
Okay. Yep, that's what Tommy said.
That's how
okay. All right. All right. So... we're born into the world of sin. Good morning.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Go over and sit with your friends. Go ahead.
This is my friend.
Well, not quite as good. Go over there and sit with your friends.
Well, my friend left.
Yeah. This lesson is so structured that, believe me, you don't interrupt a thing. Okay. Now, here's a question that I want you to ponder. And then I want some answers. In fact, I might even have you raise your hands, which I very seldom do. If your life was to go down naturally and run its course naturally, would you be drawn towards God or would you be drawn towards the devil? If you made no decision in your life and your life just went kind of like down the track, would you be drawn to the good side? Or would you be drawn to the dark side?
Billy Joel said sinners are much more fun.
Yeah. But as Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. So there is no middle road. Would you be drawn towards the good side? Or would you be drawn towards the dark side?
We're born in sin.
Yes.
So it's a matter of being drawn out of there. So we're already on back on the dark side.
Yeah.
Okay. If your life was to run right down the road, would your natural inclination, is that the word? Inclination. Be drawn to the good side or be drawn to the bad side?
Without any outside influences?
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Okay. Very difficult question. Why? That's why I'm the teacher.
because
I got counselors in here. I can't say my next statement.
You know, like the doctor said, we're born into sin. So
yeah.
That's where the propensity is. However,
see, now here comes an answer. He gave an answer. Now he's got a however. All right, so let's hear the however.
Well, I think that in a way, our life, our God, what God's character does in our life is when we're born, we're born in His image, even though we're sin.
Okay.
And so we are special in that way.
Okay.
And so the only thing that draws us away from that
Okay.
But we have had God put in us a desire for something different.
Okay.
He said he did. Put it back in us. And so we can't go through life without making choices.
Okay.
We are making choices.
Okay.
That's not a valid theorem.
It's not a what?
It's not a valid theorem because we are making choices.
Oh, absolutely it's a valid theorem.
Platform
you can't
flawed,
go
though.
Through life without making choices.
I didn't ever say that. I said, which, if you went down the road, which way would you be pulled naturally? Towards the good side? Towards the bad side? Yes.
Without the Holy Spirit, if it was truly just walking down the road right in the middle, we would drift to the right. We would go towards Satan.
Okay.
Because that is our nature.
Okay.
And it's only because the Holy Spirit...
Okay.
God's representative
okay.
to us, direct representative to us, or
okay.
however you want to experience that or
okay.
say that.
Right.
It's His influence that draws
okay.
us the other way.
Okay. So.
And we're just trying to do it on our own and trying to be real good.
Okay.
All our righteousness is filthy rags.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
I think people have an innate goodness to them.
Okay.
You know, children know not to kill their dog or steal from one another. You go to some uninhabited place, Papua New Guinea, or some place they've never heard of Jesus Christ, God, any of that, and they understand innately it's not right for them to steal from one another, not
okay.
to kill one another. So I would say people do have an innate goodness to them.
Good. Now, she said, without the Holy Spirit, there is no goodness. So, which comes first? The Holy Spirit or us asking for the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit.
Pardon?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit? Anybody else? Okay.
But like what he says,
he's got the little devil on his shoulder.
Okay.
And he got the Holy Spirit
on this.
Anything about God.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit works on them for a gentle spirit.
Okay.
And they're going to go to heaven just like maybe you and I, and we know all the details.
Okay.
But they have been responsive in their heart to the Holy Spirit's
okay.
influence in their life, but they don't know it's the Holy Spirit. They don't know about God.
Okay. Now, what was yours? Great comment.
You come to a place, you got to make a decision, and there's
okay.
always the devil on one shoulder,
okay.
but the Holy Spirit's going to be there too.
Absolutely.
So you got to pick which you're
going to. Absolutely. There's two powers always working in your life.
There's two sentences that I read in a three-part story here in the
okay.
Warley. There's two sentences. For 25 years, more than half of my life, the first thing I did every morning was inject heroin into my veins. Then one July morning, I woke and knew that I was done letting drugs run my life. Why? I mean, I don't know, something else, but I don't know. I knew. So I think the Holy Spirit, I think that's convicting of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, even if you don't call for the Holy Spirit.
Okay, go to the first sentence. I'm not hard of hearing.
Oh, okay. Even if we don't call the Holy Spirit, God calls us.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now, I go back to my question again then. If we're running down this track, would the natural consequences be towards good or would it be towards the dark side? All right, now y'all just told me that the Holy Spirit is in our life whether we ask Him or not. Is that what you said? I never like to put words in people's mouths. Because I did ask, does the asking of the Holy Spirit come first or does the Holy Spirit being in our life come first?
I don't think anyone would ask for the Holy Spirit to come into their life without the Holy Spirit being in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What? The devil's going to say, oh, by the way, time out. Why don't you ask for the Holy Spirit? Yeah. You see, that's why is this, I think the question is important. If we go down the track, the Holy Spirit is given to us, and it is in our lives. And He is going to push us, obviously, and we're going to get how in just a minute, to the good side. Every one of us makes a choice. That is the beauty of God. Every one of us makes a choice. If we let the natural inclinations of the Holy Spirit work in our life, we would choose the right side because that's where He would lead us. Not force us. He will what? Into all truths? Lead us into all truths. The great thing about the judgment is we have to reject God. Do you get the difference? The choice is not, do I accept God or do I reject God? The Holy Spirit is leading in our lives, working in our lives, to accept God. We have to come to a point in our life where we choose to reject Him. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would continue to work in our lives and lead us into all truths which we would accept. Yes, we are born with the propensity of sin. Yes, we are born in sin. When I was 21 years old, I was a student call porter, and they asked me to preach in Abilene. That's where I was working for the summer. And I'd had M.D. Lewis as a theology teacher, and he was a deep thinker. And so I decided at the age of 21 that I had a fantastic sermon based upon, are you ready, Roger? Did Jesus have the same propensity of sin as Adam had at the beginning? Now that's a great subject for a 21-year-old preacher to be. I thought, man, this is just going to astound them. So I get up and I start in, and this true story because you only tell true stories. I get into it about 8 to 10 minutes. And I figure out, number one, I think I'm wrong. Number two, I'm lost, they're lost, and this is a disaster. So I did the only smart thing a person would do. I said, stopped right in the middle of it, and I said, you know, you're bored, I'm bored, this ain't working. And I sat down. And I was a hero. Because church got out about 11:35. You see. We're born in sin. But God has placed within us His Spirit, who wants to lead us to the light of truth. And unless we reject that, we will be pulled towards truth. That's why, have you ever wondered in the great panoramic view and in Revelation at the end of time that everybody will say, the wicked included, that God is just? Now, how do you think they come to that realization? It isn't the death penalty. You watch the people with the death penalty as they're being executed in the state of Texas. Most of them aren't sorry. They're very defiant. And they claim they're... So see, it's not the death penalty that brings them to that conclusion. In fact, they're so much in rebellion that as soon as they kneel and say, you are just, you are righteous, the next statement they make is, let's go kill the Creator. But what happens in that panoramic view, and that's why God gives a panoramic view, every one of us will see how God worked in our lives. We'll see the guardian angels. We'll see as we come up to consequences how God worked, how God pleaded, how God sent. And we will see how we reject, 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 and reject. And God stands up before the universe and He says, is there anything else I could have done to save Adolf Hitler? And the universe will say, including Hitler himself, absolutely not. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will lead us into all truths. He will lead us to the light. He will show us the real. How do you convict sin? You uphold the real. And we've gone about it wrong. For many years, we pointed out the sins. You shouldn't drink. Shouldn't eat pork. Shouldn't smoke. You shouldn't cheat God. Pay your tithe. You shouldn't work on Sabbath. Not you, Maria, because you're too young and best looking person on the row. But these other four, well, the other two and me, we went to school at a place where we knew everything in Walu. Yeah, you, yeah. We knew everything what not to do. But we did we know who to serve? I don't think so. I think we missed the boat. You see, that's why compilations, one of the worst books in the denomination, my opinion, is Messages to Young People. That book ought to be thrown away. It's a compilation. You know what compilations are? Picked here, picked a quote there, pick a quote there, pick a quote there, pick a quote there, no context. And then they take all of those quotes, put it in a book, and then say, give it to your young people. And all your young people see is a bunch of things out of context says you can't do. One of them was ride bicycles. Am I right, Dr. Coy? Does Ellen White make a statement that we should not ride bicycles? Yes.
When I was growing up, that was a required reading Bible class.
Yes.
Because
the Holy Spirit, just what I was getting ready to say. The Holy Spirit, unless you reject, will lead you into all truths. He said, bypass that book. Bypass that book. That book needs to be bypassed.
So you have three sons sitting there by you that say, thank you, Mom.
Yeah, yeah. That's it should be bypassed because the picture of God in it is horrible. Because you're just reading here and reading there and reading there. Councils on diets and food, same problem. Reading here, reading there. Yes.
Thinking of your conversation with the Mormon.
Yeah.
And your response. How would you respond if to your response he says, well, what are the things then that you do differently or that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How do you discuss the Sabbath without it sounding like, you know, what you do and don't do kind of a thing?
He asked me that question on the Sabbath.
Know, or, you know, how does your diet differ, you know, because, or how does, what, you know, when you talk about what, how God has affected, you know, because of the relationship, what, your life, it can sometimes sound like, well, I don't do this and I do this when it's not that way in your life at all.
Mm-hmm. He asked me about the seventh day Sabbath because they call Sunday Sabbath. You know, and I said, well, early in my life I felt that it was an obligation for me to keep the seventh day Sabbath. And I said, I know the proof text for Sabbath and the proof text for Sunday. I particularly believe the Sabbath is still the seventh day. I said over the years, because of my relationship with God, and I began to look at God as the center of my life rather than the laws, I came to the conclusion that God thought so much of me that He gave us a day to come apart from the work, come apart from the world, and that it's a blessing that we have this day to worship God. So therefore, I do not worship Him Sabbath out of obligation. I worship because it's the day I can spend with my family. He caught the difference real quick. See? So the same thing with food. Why does a person not eat pork? Well, our answer is, well, the Bible says no. Well, if I eat a ham sandwich at noon, is that going to hurt me? Oh, now some say I'd go to hell. But, well, I don't believe that one for 1 second. See? So why do I want to do that? Yeah. God said, you know, if you want to take it a step further, what did God say we really ought to eat? I think what He said is take Ernie with you to Burger King and order your sandwich without the meat, and then Ernie be right behind and say, put his meat on mine. Y'all remember that? When they worked for me, I'd take them to Burger King, and they, of course, vegetarians. So I said, well, put their meat, and I guess I paid for it. You see? The Holy Spirit, which is God, you know, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. They're all the same. They just look at things a little differently. But God within us is going to pull us towards Him unless we choose to reject Him. That's the goodness of God. God has not put us out on this planet to flounder. He lets us have free will. But it's like a magnet. The magnet is always going to pull in what direction? North. Is that a magnet? Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's good. I hated science. Two subjects I hated was English and science. So, the Holy Spirit is just like a magnet. Unless we resist, unless we pull away, unless we fight, He's going to draw us to all the truth. Our job as Christians in witnessing is to bring people aware of the work of the Holy Spirit, not to go and clean out their lives for them. That's the work of God. And so many times we want to do God's work for Him. See? So how does the Holy Spirit convict? Keeps holding up the character and the image of God. Revelation, Jesus says, behold I, which Holy Spirit, however you want to put it, stand at the door and do what? Knock. Question comes, and I didn't have the privilege of hearing Roger last week, but the question comes then, when does the Holy Spirit stop knocking at a person's door?
But you don't hear the knock.
Pardon?
Well, it's, he's still knocking, but you don't hear the knock.
Okay. When does the Holy Spirit quit knocking? Pardon?
Never.
Got a never? I got a we don't hear it. Well, then what in the world is the sin that God cannot forgive?
We become deaf.
Pardon?
We become deaf. That's the unpardonable sin.
Okay.
To the knock.
Okay. So when does God stand up and say to the universe, y'all ever watch Shark Tank? Mm-hmm. You know, we tape it and watch it. You know, Kevin O'Leary says, you're dead to me. Mm-hmm. When does God stand up then with this unpardonable sin and He says, Richard, you're dead to me? When?
teacher, he said that at that great panoramic view, if one person was to really change their mind, he would take them in.
Okay, so is the word never?
Never.
Then why do we teach that there's an unpardonable sin? Pardon?
Doesn't it say that somewhere? Doesn't it call it the unpardonable sin? In the Bible, or is that in Illinois? That's in the Bible.
You're talking about grieving the Spirit.
But it's not the unpardonable sin, it's just grieving the Spirit.
Okay, so can you go so far that God says you're dead to me?
That's just not, I don't believe that's the nature of God. Okay. He doesn't know to not be loved.
How far can your children go that you say they're dead to me?
Seems might have gone to that extent.
Well, that happens. That does happen. That does happen. Yeah. Sometimes. I didn't have children in my life for a long time, and then one day I had a 12-year-old daughter, and when she was 13, I called my daddy one time, and I said, I got a question for you. And he says, what's that? And I said, how come you didn't kill me when I was a kid? Because my daddy used to say, the only thing that bothers me about you not having children is that you'll never understand your rearing. And boy, I understood that. How did you keep from killing me? See?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. God never gives up on you. Never. When the wicked die at the last panoramic view, and I believe that panoramic view is the last appeal that God makes. But you see, there's a statement that absolutely, when a person is so settled in the truth or non-truth that they cannot be moved, then they seal their own destiny. Now, one of the misapprehensions is that there's going to be a time when God's people are sealed and the Spirit is moved from this world and we stand on our own. Blasphemy. If we can stand on our own at any time, why are we going through all of this? Why didn't God just create us in the beginning? Why does God appeal to the person? Story of redemption tells us that when Satan had created havoc in heaven and he left, we use the word he was cast out. He wasn't thrown out by God, he left. And he went about to spew his stuff throughout the universe. And it says that three times Jesus met with the devil, the adversary, and showed him down the end of the world ages what would happen because of the rebellion. And Lucifer refused to change his ways. And the story of redemption says that Jesus hugged him and cried. But Lucifer was so settled in his ways that nothing would move him. He saw the crucifixion. He saw the birth. He saw the same things that moved the world did nothing to his heart. So the Holy Spirit comes along and says, walk with me. And as we walk with him, we talk about our problems and we share things. And we begin to see by looking at God and the goodness of God, then they think, I don't have that in my life. And then the Holy Spirit says, well, maybe we can work on that. Proverbs says, the righteous man falls seven times and does what? Gets up. Holy Spirit says, you say to the Holy Spirit, I really made a mess of that, didn't I? Yeah. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, help me up. Let's continue down our journey. And the Holy Spirit reaches down and picks us up and says, let's go. Convicts us of our life. As we look at Christ, we see the unhappiness, we see the things in our life, and we say, you know, I want to be like you. God's great plan for the children of Israel, I've said many times over the years, was that they would be so prosperous, such a great nation, full of love, the crosswords of the world, that people would stop and say, what do you have? That's the greatest form of Christian witnessing. Not 20th century Bible studies, not the old film projectors in the home. What do you have that I don't have? Well, let me tell you about God. I said one time to my dad when I was, early 20s, I guess, struggling spiritually, having problems. And, Dad, I said, I just wonder if I've committed the unpardonable sin. His answer was a good one. My dad was pretty legalistic, but it was pretty good for a legalistic person. He said, the very fact you're asking tells you you haven't. You get that? Why do we preach the unpardonable sin? Well, being a former evangelist, doing evangelistic work and preaching, I'll tell you why. What did we want to happen after 3 weeks?
Baptism.
Baptism. I'm a sales trainer. So one of the first things you do in a deal is create a sense of urgency. Which makes good sense. I don't want to hear, well, I'll get this next month. So what do evangelists need to do? What?
The same thing.
Create a sense of urgency.
Numbers.
And how do you create a sense of urgency? The alarm clock goes off and you turn it off. And tomorrow the alarm clock goes off and you turn it off. And your alarm clock goes off, So don't do that. Don't turn this. Why? Because at the end of 3 weeks, he wants a what? Decision. And when the person says, I'm not ready, what did we say? Almost had him. Wow. I wish to God I could do over those years. Almost had him. You see, because we wanted them to conform to a set of rules. That was important. And then we brought them up. At a young age, I did learn this. We bring them up. How many do you remember they used to bring them up and read the 24, now 27 or 20? Have they put in a new one in the last month or so? I'm not aware of. 28. Okay. How many remember they used to read them? Even as a kid, I figured out I'd never do that if I became a preacher. Yeah. You see, the question we must decide as the Sabbath school class, the Holy Spirit will convict. Absolutely. He will lead us into all truths. Absolutely. He will lead us to the light. Absolutely. The question is, what is truth? That's the question. And man, we like to help the Holy Spirit out. Because you could go around to all the classes here. By the way, I'm putting a veggie burger stand up between the parking lot way out there and the door here so that on your way to Sabbath school you can get a veggie burger. And so you come into the class not hungry. The question is, what truth does the Holy Spirit lead them into? And that's where you could go to every one of these classes. Nice people, nice teachers, all Seventh-day Adventists, and get a different answer from each class. Do you agree to that? I think so. So what truth does the Holy Spirit lead us to? Has to be. Yes.
God loves you.
Yes.
That's the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
And when you grasp that, then everything else seems to fall apart.
God loves you. His greatest desire is to spend eternity with you. He'll walk with you. He has the best in mind. Even sometimes you might not know what that is. And then He will work with you in your life. You see, that's the great truth. If we lead them to the seventh-day Sabbath as a great truth, what have we accomplished? Some people that go to church on Saturday, but I know a whole group of people that went to church on Saturday and created, that killed the Creator of the universe and hoped He died on Friday afternoon so they could get home for the Sabbath. We could teach them how to eat right. Nothing wrong with that. We can teach them all these things, but if we don't teach them about God, if we don't let the Holy Spirit lead them to God, all the other stuff is done. I believe the Holy Spirit is a person. I believe the Holy Spirit does the same identical work as God would or the Son would. I believe the Holy Spirit is interchangeable with all of them. It's just that God set up a difference. And Jesus says, last week we had an interesting discussion in Waxahachie. I want to throw this out real quick. Will you remember your sins in heaven? Gotta hope not. I gotta know. Will you remember them? Well, let me ask you this question. Will the Bible be in heaven?
Yes, in the form of God.
Will the Bible itself be in heaven? Why not?
We're with God.
So He's going to wipe out the Bible from our memory?
No. It's a historical book about His
love.
When Isaiah runs across... Oh, I should have started out with this one. Hey, y'all want to go another hour? I told you this was random, man. Roger, how come you didn't tell me? Hey, we don't want to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah. When Isaiah runs across Manasseh, what's he going to say? Who are you?
I know all about you.
What's he going to say? Who are you? What do you think God's going to do with the Bible? Hide it?
It'll still be on my iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we come along and give... Oh, I should have started with this one. Going to come along, we give God amnesia. God knows everything. But He doesn't know that you went to a movie on Sabbath when you shouldn't have. Because He forgot that. Are we joking ourselves? What do you think is going to happen when David meets Uriah? And Uriah says, I got a question. Why in the world did you put me in the front line? Well, don't read Kings. Don't go read Kings. Please don't. What are you going to do with the handprints of God with holes in them? What are those for? I can't tell you. Oh, come on. You ever try to get the Masonic secret handshake? My daddy was a 32nd degree Mason. I pleaded with him all his life to show me the handshake. And he wouldn't do it. I can't tell you why these holes are in my hands. What do you think makes us secure for heaven, for eternity? If God wipes our brains out, shame on Him. He had a chance when Lucifer failed to do the same thing and chose not to. Certainly we'll know our sins in heaven. We'll remember. What testimony do we have? Remember, we're going to go to the universe and give our testimony? Correct?
Yes.
What testimony we're going to have? I like God.
God's good.
God loves me. God's good. I don't remember why I like God, but man, I really like God. You get it? We're going to say, man, let me tell you what happened. I was in the pits of hell. I was nothing. And there was God. That's our testimony we give to the universe. God knows us before we were born. He knows us when we're in heaven. But He treats us as if we've never committed rebellion. That's the difference. Father in heaven, where were you when I needed an introduction to this class today? But we hope our outlook on the Holy Spirit is good. But most of all, we know how much you love us, how much you care for us. Your greatest desire is for us to spend eternity. Help us to uphold your character, your love to our fellow men in Jesus' name. Amen.